Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome back to Mountain Baptist Church. Take your songbooks and turn to song 419. Song 419 in your songbooks. We'll sing Sound the Battle Cry, if you would stand. We'll sing song 419.
Sound the battle cry, see the foe is nigh, raise the standard high for the Lord. Gird your armor on, stand firm everyone, rest your cause upon His holy word. Rouse then, soldiers, rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna, Christ is captain of the mighty throng. Strong to meet the foe, marching on we go, while our cause we know must prevail. Shield and banner bright, gleaming in the light, battling for the right, we ne'er can fail. Rouse then, soldiers, rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna, Christ is captain of the mighty throng. O thou God of all, hear us when we call, help us one and all by thy grace. When the battle's done and the victory's won, may we wear the crown before thy face. Rouse then, soldiers, rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna, Christ is captain of the mighty throng.
And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we just want to thank you, God, just for, Lord, 7 years here at this church. Thank you, Lord, for the great sermon this morning, the fellowship this afternoon, and the souls that were saved yesterday, last week. I pray now that, again, we would just honor and glorify your name. We love you and pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated and take your Mountain Baptist psalms, hymns, and spiritual psalm books, those blue folders there in your chairs, and turn to song number one. Song number one in your Mountain Baptist psalms, hymns, and spiritual psalm books. We'll sing Psalm 11 on page number one.
In the Lord put I my trust, how say ye to my soul? Flee as a bird to your mountain, for lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord tryeth the righteous, but the wicked that loveth violence, his soul hateth, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone and horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, his countenance doth behold the upright. In the Lord put I my trust.
Amen. So, welcome back to Mountain Baptist Church. Obviously, most of you, we've been just hanging out all afternoon. So, I think good fellowship there, a lot of food. I appreciate everybody that brought out food as well. I am stuffed. So, great to have 7 years here. And I wanted to, before we get into announcements, get the soul winning numbers for the week. You know, yesterday we had 7 on the soul winning marathon. Did we have any during the week? Four yesterday? Yeah, that's right. So that's 11 yesterday. Was there any others during the week? So 11. So praise the Lord for that. Keep up the good work with the soul winning. I think next time when we go up there, we'll just go soul winning there in Washington. Cannonsburg was like, 2 minutes away? So it wasn't like it was far anyway, but there's a lot of area there in Washington as well. So I don't know if I'm going to hit up Five Guys afterwards, though. Between Five Guys and today, I'm done. Like, I think I've eaten all my calories for the week. So, good times there. And then, obviously, service times this week, everything is normal. So Wednesday, we're going to be continuing through 2 Samuel. And so we're almost wrapping up Samuel, so a couple more weeks there, Lord willing. And then I'm going to be jumping into the New Testament on that. If there's a specific book in the New Testament you want me to hit on, I'm thinking about maybe going into Thessalonians and all that. So, if anybody has any requests there. And then on the soul winning there, next Sunday, the soul winning time will be normal next Sunday. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is our regional soul winning times. And so just be on the church group for that. Upcoming events, we do have the men's prayer meeting coming up on Friday. We have the women's prayer meeting on October 5th, which is a Saturday. We are planning on doing another Pastor Deacon Bowl football game. So, according to Dave, he wants the same teams. So, I don't know if he just wants to get destroyed again, if that's how he wants to roll with that. But that, all joking aside, anybody that wants to be a part of that, obviously, it's not co-ed, so we're not gonna. It's gonna be men. Obviously, if you're, obviously, I think Adam could play, you know, stuff like that. So we're gonna try to find a time to do that, a time where we can all meet up. I think Monongah, that worked out pretty well. Just hopefully that the sheriff of Monongah doesn't come by and like try to shoot us. Did anyone see that? So Barney Fife out there. Yeah. No, it wasn't a joke, but it's still like if you look at the guy, he's a joke. So, football game. Kind of keep that on your radar. We did it on a Friday last time. So we got off work and then we met up there. So I think that works well if everybody can do that. Just upcoming events there. We do have some soul winning marathons scheduled coming up in Elkins, West Virginia on October 12th. Brother Richie's leading that one up. Columbus, Ohio, that's on November 9th. Brother Wade's leading that one up. And so everybody will set up separate groups for those. So if you want to go out to that, just let them know. And you're wanting to be a part of that, let them know. They'll get you into the group, and you'll get all the details. And then our chapter memory for the month is 1 John chapter 2. And our memory verse for the week is Proverbs 20, verse 29. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. And we got all the anniversaries, all that stuff, the birthdays. Rachel Hiles on the pregnancy list there. Be in prayer for her. I think that's about all I have for announcements. Brother Nick, you're reading tonight. So Brother Nick's going to be reading Psalm 90 after we do one more song. Oh, by the way, starting next Sunday, we're going to be doing the children's choir practice for Christmas.
What? It's not even a... All right, take your songbooks and turn to song 324. We have a bunch of pizza left if anybody wants to take pizza home. Just take a box. And are all those filled, Brother Charles? Are all those the pizzas that's left? They're all full. I think we could have done 20 pizzas. I don't think 30 was... That's right. Yeah, that, you know, yeah, we were all about 20 pizzas. It was the ladies that were about the 30 pizzas. Yeah, you know what? Okay. All right, anyway. All right, song 324. Drum in here, song 324.
I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy servant, Lord, by thy power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love not known till I cross the narrow sea. Heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
All right, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Psalms, chapter number 90. Psalms, chapter number 90 in your Bibles. We'll have Brother Nick come and read that for us.
Psalm 90. Psalm 90, if you're there, say amen. Psalm 90, the Bible reads, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be fourscore years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, and thank you for the time we had fellowship today, and thank you for the souls saved yesterday. Please fill Pastor with the Holy Spirit and help us to be edified by the message. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So you're there in Psalm 90, and the name of my sermon is Investing Your Time in Others. Investing Your Time in Others. This is something I've been thinking about for a while, actually. Just something that's on my mind a lot, actually, of just the idea of trying to manage time, but the idea of not getting upset on feeling like you're wasting your time or losing your time, okay? And I specifically think about this when it comes to, when it comes to dealing with our kids and stuff like that, to where sometimes you feel like you're just kind of losing time and you're never going to get it back and all that. And but the thing is that you have to, instead of thinking that you're losing your time, you need to think about the fact that you're investing your time, especially when you're dealing with giving your time to others and helping out others, and that time is actually very valuable to the person that you're doing that for. But the first thing that I want you to, I think we all realize, but it's just the truth of the matter, is that we don't have much time in this life. And the fact of the matter is that time is kind of fleeting. The older you get, the more you realize how fast time flies. In Psalm 90, in verse 9 here, it says, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." So it's kind of like we live to 70, 80. And obviously today, you can, especially with modern medicine and everything, and just a lot of things, sometimes you can go past that when it comes to 70, 80 years old. But a lot of times once you're in your 80s or 90s, you're not going to be doing too much anyway. There's exceptions to the rule. Obviously, I preached a whole sermon about having the gray head and all that. But the idea here is that we don't have much time. The Bible states this in many different ways. Go to 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29. So here it says that we spend our years as a tale that is told, and that basically, we live 70, 80 years, in this life. That's the time frame. I mean, even if you live to, let's say you live to 100, I mean, it's still not that long, right? In the grand scheme of things, for eternity, all of that. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 15, it says, "For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding." So it likens our days on the earth as a shadow. James 4, go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And it says in verse 13, James chapter 4 and verse 13, it says, "Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." So our life is basically like shadow. It's but a vapor. It's like a tale that is told. 80 years and 10, 80 years old. That's the type of thing. Now, not to depress everybody with the fact that life is short, but that being said is that because life is short, we're trying to utilize our time wisely, meaning this is that what the Bible uses the term is redeeming your time. So go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14. So what I'm kind of prefacing the sermon with is that, yes, we don't have much time, so therefore we have to utilize our time wisely so that we're not wasting our time or that we're basically being productive with our time is kind of the way that I would look at this. And this is something I struggle with because I'm constantly wanting to try to get certain things accomplished, and I'm constantly feel like I'm failing at that, but I'm also thinking, like, I'm wasting time here. This isn't being profitable over here with my time, and I just feel like I'm losing time. But actually, in a lot of cases, I'm not. In a lot of cases, there's time that you feel like you're losing, but you're actually investing it in someone else. Now, whether that's your wife, for ladies, your husbands, or whether that's with your children, or whether that's with other people, that could be people at church. And sometimes you can maybe feel like, hey, this time is just lost. Like, I'm just wasting my time, and I've just lost all this time. But in the end, what you don't realize is that that time that you put into them may be very valuable to them. That time that you put into them may actually cause them to do great things in their life that you didn't realize that even affected. And then you're over here thinking, like, I just wasted my time. I just wasted all this time to where I'm never getting it back. When actually sometimes things that you don't think matter actually matter a lot to that person. And I'm going to give you some examples of just personal examples where if you ask the person that I would say this about, they would have thought that this is, like, so trivial, it wasn't a big deal, whatever. But to me, it was a big deal, right? And so, but in Ephesians chapter 5, it states here that we need to redeem the time, which if you think about the term redeem, you're kind of purchasing something, right? And so you're kind of trying to buy back time, right? You're trying to buy time in this life because it is precious. But the idea here is that we're constantly trying to basically make the most of the time that we have, okay? And in Ephesians 5:14, it says, wherefore, he said, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Go to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Obviously, Colossians and Ephesians are very much parallel, but it says something similar to that. But the idea there is that you're walking circumspectly, meaning that you're walking very wisely, right? You're basically trying to walk in a manner that's very productive. It's not going to be, you're not wasting time, essentially. I mean, think about it, if you're traveling somewhere, right? You want to get the fastest route. You don't want to waste time. You don't want to have to go, like, way out of your way to go somewhere. You just want to get there as fast as you can and basically redeem as much time as you can on maybe a trip that you're going on. And in life, we're always trying to be very productive with our time, okay? And in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. And so it's just this constant reminder that, hey, you know what? Redeem the time because the days are evil. You know, redeem the time because the time is short. You only have a short amount of time. And when you're younger, you think you have tons of time, right? You're just like, oh, you know, basically invincible. We got all the time in the world. Time moves by so slow. And I remember when I was in college, I just felt like time was just dragging on. I'm just like, when am I going to get through this experience right here? I'm just like, it's just dragging. And then I got out of college, started working, and time started going by really quick. And then I got married, and it seemed like it went by even more. And then you had kids, and it even went faster. And it's just like, and I think it's not even necessarily like the fact of these other factors as much as, well, as you get older, your concept of time changes because of how how long you've been living in the world will change, like, your concept of the amount of time, right? Because if you lived, let's say you lived like those in the Old Testament before the flood lived to like 800 years old, well, your concept of time is going to be different than my concept of time, right? As far as what you think is a long time, like what they think is a long time is going to be a lot different than what we think is a long time, okay? And so, I mean, obviously to God, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So the concept of time to God is very different than it is to us. But the thing is that time is fleeting. We only have so much time. We're trying to redeem the time as much as possible. And know this, is that it's high time to get things done. You know, obviously, some people may not care, you know, that they're not being productive with their time. But I would say, I would assume that everybody in here is trying to be productive with their time. They're trying to get things done. They're trying to accomplish something and trying to be productive. And that is a constant battle where I feel like I'm failing at, where I'm just not being productive. I'm not using my time wisely. And I'm constantly, you know, basically trying to do better at that. But the thing is that we don't want to leave off time that to others that may not seem productive at the time, but is actually very important, okay? And go to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. So this is just kind of prefacing the sermon, because I'm going to be getting into specifics on the fact of spending time with certain people in your life, though it may not seem to be productive at the time, may not seem to be very important, it's actually very important, okay? And Romans chapter 13, verse 11 here, it says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. The idea here is that it's time to serve the Lord. You know, the night's past, it's daytime. It's kind of like you're waking up in the morning, getting ready to go. It's essentially the call to action here. It's like, the sun's up, let's get to work, right? So now's the time to start serving the Lord. And then Jesus says this in John 9:4, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. And if you think about a day as being a lifetime, right? And obviously, you know, it's just kind of an idea there that you have the day is your life, night is when you go to sleep, right? And night, you know, obviously death is like none to sleep. And the idea is that we can only work while we're alive. And basically, I'm going to work while I'm alive. But know this, is that it's time right now. Like, the sun's up. Let's do this. And so the time is short, so we need to redeem the time because it's short, and now's the time, right? Meaning that it's time to do it now. It's not like, well, when do I start? When do I start serving the Lord? When do I start getting into the things of God? Well, it's now. You know, go to now is what the Bible says. But what the Bible teaches is that we need to really be thinking about others more than ourselves. Okay, and this is a hard thing to do, okay? Because I think by nature, we're all selfish to a certain extent. And it's not even that what we're doing is wrong. It's just the fact that there's a lot of times where we want to do a lot of things to kind of better ourselves or whatever. This could be anything from studying something, learning something, to exercise, to different things like that. And what I'm going to state to this is that there's a place for all that, right? You need to better yourself. But we have to sacrifice what we're wanting to do for ourselves to do it for others. There's only so much time. Think about it. There's only so much time in a day. So by definition, if you're going to help someone else with something, you have to sacrifice your own time to do it. And that is something that's hard to do. Knowing that you only have so much time, knowing that you're trying to redeem the time as much as possible anyway. So then when you're given that time where you're like, okay, I can't do this that I want to do for myself, I got to do this for someone else, that is a hard thing to do. But it is a Bible thing that we're supposed to be doing. Go to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. It says, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now, that's not saying, like, don't look on all your own materials, look on everybody else's materials, right? It's like, don't look at your car, look at someone else's car. That's not what it's talking about. It's not talking about being covetous or envious of your neighbor's stuff. What it means is that, you know, basically, you should be thinking about how to help other people with what they're dealing with, right? Bearing one another's burdens and all of that. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It'll say something similar to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. It says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Okay, so it's kind of like the idea of you should be thinking about their welfare. Think about wealth as being more like welfare, right? Not necessarily like you don't want to seek to be a millionaire. You want to help someone else be a millionaire. That's not exactly what we're talking about here. We're more so talking about welfare, prosperity, as far as like physically and spiritually, right? And the thing is that we should be focusing more on excelling someone else. Now, in the perfect atmosphere, if that were the case, then basically, as I'm trying to excel other people, then they're trying to excel other people, and I would then, in turn, probably be benefiting from someone else trying to excel me, right? The idea is that, you know, we're basically all doing that for each other, and therefore, it's kind of like this perfect unity of that happening. But here's the thing. You can't expect it, okay? So if you're basically helping someone else, you're to do that in the expectation that you're getting nothing in return, okay? That's the attitude that you should have. That doesn't mean that's what's going to happen, because in a lot of cases, you know, people are going to be there for you and try to help you in different things. But with that being said, you don't want to leave off yourself, okay? So when it comes to, like, investing your time, you need to invest some time in yourself, okay? This means that, yes, you do need to take care of yourself physically. Because, listen, if you don't take care of yourself physically, you're not going to be able to help anybody else. You need to study yourself, or you're not going to be able to teach others, right? Now, go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to be giving you some real-life examples here in a minute, but the idea here is I'm coming from more of a personal standpoint of, you know, with work, with church, and with family. And there's a lot that goes on there, and there has to be time management. But there's also the mental game that's played there with that time management, where you feel like you're not redeeming it like you want it to be redeemed, right? You're basically, you feel like you're just constantly wasting the time that you have. And ultimately, in a lot of cases, you're not. And I am specifically going to be touching on parents that are homeschooling, okay? Homeschooling is hard. It is really hard, okay? And that is one area that it just feels like, you just feel like you're just spinning in circles, you feel like you're not getting anything accomplished, and it is really hard, okay? I feel like sometimes a lot of mothers are beating themselves up when they probably shouldn't be, as far as that's concerned, okay? But notice, as far as we need to obviously know things ourselves, so you don't want to just be like, all right, I'm not going to study anything, I'm not going to read anything, I'm not going to increase my learning, it's all about other people. It's like, well, no, you need to increase, you need to know things, you need to better yourself as well, but there needs to be a balance in that. And the key with having a good marriage and having a good family and having, you know, and even running a business or whatever you're doing is having a good life balance. And I'm not here to say that I have that. Okay, I'm not here to say like, hey, I've arrived at that. I know it. I'm just like, just the one to talk to about all of that. All I'm saying is that this is something that I'm constantly thinking about because I'm constantly having to be on a certain regimen. I have to have certain things set up, and if I don't, I'm not going to get much accomplished. But it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Notice here, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." Notice the personal application there that you are to study yourself so that you aren't ashamed and that you're rightly dividing the word of truth. And go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, I want you to see that 1 Timothy, obviously 1 and 2 Timothy, Paul is writing to Timothy as a pastor. And as a pastor, for example, I need to study myself. I need to read. And the ultimate thing here is how am I to teach you if I don't know it? How am I supposed to tell you to read if I don't read? And if I just let all that lapse because, well, no, I'm spending all this time over here, though, with the people in the church, well, it's all going to fall apart if I don't take care of it myself, if I'm not doing it myself. But you don't want to be on this scale where you're like, well, I'm studying so much and I'm reading so much and I'm doing all this stuff for myself so much that I'm completely forgetting about everybody else and be like, nuts to you, I have to put all my time into myself, right? There has to be a balance, a healthy balance of where, hey, I have my me time, where I'm taking care of certain things to where I can then invest in others when it comes to that. So in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11, it says, "These things command and teach, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things." Notice this. "Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." See, the job of the preacher is to warn the flock and to teach the flock. And if you're not doing it for yourself, then how are you going to basically deal? Basically, if you falter, then how are you going to basically cause the flock not to falter? And this is something that you have to deal with, you know, things for yourself, all of that. And 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1 says this, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." So when it comes to investing your time, let's say in Bible reading, you know, in doctrine and study, all of that, you need to invest time in yourself to gain that knowledge so that you can teach others, right? In order to teach others, for example, I had to go to church and do, you know, basically be under a pastor and do the things I need to do in order to be ready to turn around and then do it for others, okay? And so that is something that, don't leave that off, okay? So that being said, but here's the problem. If I had my will, I'd be stuck on myself. Like, I want to read. I want to know more about this. I want to study this. I want to just, like, basically, I just want to know all these different things and study all these different things and just, like, increase my knowledge on all this stuff. But here's the problem. I don't have the time to just dedicate all my time to that. And sometimes I come home, and just to be honest, a lot of times I'll come home after work, working all day, and I'll come home, and my kids want to play as soon as I come home, and part of me is just like, I got, like, 500 things I need to get done. It could be anything from things that need to be done at the house to whatever, right? But what you have to realize is that you only have so much time, and the time with my kids is fleeting, and what you do with them in the time that you have now is going to be something that they may remember for the rest of their lives. Whereas to you, it may seem like it's nothing, Like, you're just like, whatever, this is no big deal. You know, playing like, you know, Barbies or playing with Ninja Turtles or doing whatever. It may seem like nothing to you right now. It may seem like it's not a big deal. But to them, it may be everything. And this is something that we need to realize, is that our time that we spend with our children, the time we spend with our spouse, because I'm going to be getting into our spouse as well, and the fact that, listen, we need to spend quality time with our spouses and just have that time to where you can talk and be together and all of that. And listen, this is hard to do. In a busy world where everything's going on, this is something where you have to try to dedicate time to others, whether it's family, whether it could be friends, it could be church members, it could be whatever. The idea there is that it's sacrifice, okay? You're sacrificing your own time for others. And here's the thing. I think we don't realize, you know, how important it is to them. But here's what I want you to think about. Don't think about it as wasting time or losing time. Think about it as an investment. You are investing time in others, whether it's your spouse, whether it's your children, whether it's your friends, whether it's church members. That time is being invested in them, and it's not being wasted, and you don't realize maybe sometimes how important that time is to them. Now, think about one example of investing your time into others is the unsaved, the lost. Go to Luke chapter 19. Actually, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Luke 19:10 says, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. And I know this morning I was preaching on the Great Commission and the fact that our job as a church is to do that. But I want you to know this. Soul winning takes time. It takes time out of your day. And time you'll never get back. And what you have to understand is that that is a sacrifice. And listen, it's a very, in a lot of cases, thankless job. I mean, there's times where you go out soul winning and people are just rude to you and you're just like, what am I even doing? You know, like, and like in the flesh, you're just like, what am I even doing? Why am I out here when people just don't want to talk to me? They're just being rude to me, all that. But then, obviously, by experience, you know that there are people that are just waiting to hear it, that have just been waiting for someone to come by and just tell them how they can know they're going to heaven, and it makes it worth it all, you know, when you run into people that want to know the truth, and obviously, it's worth it. But it is a sacrifice of time. But know this, is that if we don't sacrifice that time, then the world's going to stay lost. How shall they hear without a preacher? You know, that is something that we are ambassadors for Christ. Jesus Christ isn't walking on the earth, walking around giving the gospel to people. His ministry was back 2,000 years ago. He's seated at the right hand of God, and we have been given the ministry of reconciliation and the word of reconciliation, and we are in Christ's stead beseeching the world that they may be reconciled to God. And go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The Bible also says in 1 Peter, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We have the gift. And if we're good stewards, we're gonna also minister it unto other people. And if we don't do it, no one's going to do it. But it's a sacrifice of time in order to do it. And listen, I don't believe anybody's going to be up in heaven and saying, I wish I would have went less. I wish I would have spent less time soul winning. I wish I would have spent less time, you know, trying to get the gospel. No one is ever going to say that. And listen, our job isn't to, we can't force anybody to get saved. And so our job is just to go. I believe that God rewards our time even if we don't even get into one conversation when we're out there. Because our job is to warn, we can't make them believe. And so that time is never wasted. Listen, that time that you spent in that area that was unreceptive, well, that time you spent over there caused that to not be used by someone else. That person said, then, okay, that area is done. I'm going over here. Now you caused these people to get saved over here because now this person didn't take their time over here. They used it over here, and they got saved. And we're all in it together. Our church, listen, when we went, when we won 7 people to the Lord yesterday, I didn't win anybody. You know, we walked down streets. We talked to some people. We had some crazy conversations about reptilians and everything. You know, it was definitely interesting. But I didn't win anybody. But guess what? Mountain Baptist Church won 7 people to Christ yesterday. But if we, for example, if I wasn't on that street, and let's say you were on a certain street where you didn't win anybody, if you didn't take that street, maybe the person that won somebody would have taken that street, and then one less person was saved. Because you didn't take the street that took up the time for them to go over to the other street. This is why silent partners are so important. If you have 8 talkers, we go 2 by 2. That's biblical, right? So if you have 8 talkers, you know, and let's say you have 8 people that are going out soul winning, all of them are talkers. Well, now you team them up. Well, only one person is going to talk at a time anyway. What if you had 8 silent partners? Now you, instead of having 4 groups, you have 8 groups. And you can spread out and redeem the time because all eight groups are going to be talking. Howbeit, you know, only one person's talking at a time anyway. This is the stuff that we need to think about. And the thing is that don't ever think that going out soul winning, even if you don't win anybody, is ever a waste of time. It is never a waste of time. It is always time well invested. If anything, that time invested will make the time that you win somebody even that much sweeter. Who here has gone weeks without winning somebody, but then you win somebody and you're just like, this is great, right? It's just like, it makes that so much better. It's like if you go like weeks without eating a Reese cup and then you finally get the bite into that Reese cup and you're just like, this is amazing, okay? It just makes it that much better. See, I have to bring it on a level of my level with Reese cups, and that's how I think about things. So when it comes to time, when it comes to soul winning, we need to redeem the time and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And what I want to make very clear is that it is a sacrifice to go soul winning. No doubt. It is a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice on your time. It's a sacrifice on your comfort zone. It is a sacrifice. And it can easily get to you to where like, why am I doing this? Why am I putting myself through this? You know, and you think about other people aren't doing this and they're doing fine and all this. It's a sacrifice for sure. But listen, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. The people that were hurting are this unsaved. If I don't go soul winning, that doesn't hurt me spiritually as far as like my salvation. My salvation, sure. I'm going to heaven whether I go home and play Skyrim and talk about the graybeards or not. I found out what that was all about, apparently, earlier. But in the end, that time is precious to them. And what it comes down to is that we are sacrificing our time in our own selves for the world. And notice what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. It says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more." So Paul is basically saying, I'm free from all men. You know, it's kind of like, I have liberty in Christ. It's not like I'm bound to any man, because Paul was freeborn. If you remember, when he was arrested, when he told me he was a Roman citizen, they were all afraid, right? And if you remember the centurion, Lysias, he's just like, "Art thou a Roman?" He said, "Yes." And the centurion said, "With a great sum received I this freedom." And Paul said, "I was freeborn." And being a freeborn Roman is even higher up than someone that's been freed from being bond. And so Paul had the utmost freedom in the world. He was a Roman citizen at that time, meaning that, you know, he didn't have to worry about being bond to anybody. But yet, he made himself bound to the world. He was crucified. He crucified himself to the world, the Bible says. And it says that, why? So that he might gain the more. Because what does he say here in verse 20? It says, "I and unto the Jews I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law. Being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they that do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." Meaning this is that he's trying to gain as many people. He's trying to save as many people as possible. And in order to do that, he's basically made himself a servant to the world. And that is a sacrifice that he makes for an incorruptible crown. Now, I do believe that God gives us physical crowns by serving him. You have the crown of righteousness, the crown of glory, the crown of life, right? And those are all crowns that are given out based off certain things that you do, okay? But I want you to think about this. Soul winning, when you win someone to Christ, you are saving an eternal soul, okay? And what the Bible actually states is that they themselves are a crown unto you, okay? And go to Philippians chapter 4. Not that they're like your property. That's not what I'm trying to say here. But what I'm saying is that, let's say you got no rewards in heaven, okay? And the only reward you got were the people that you brought with you. Wouldn't that be enough? To just have those that you won to Christ be there with you. And the Bible states that that is a reward, that is a crown, to have those with you. For all eternity, those that you won to Christ are there with you in heaven, glorifying God and singing praises to the Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity, and never having the taste of death, never having any pain, and just for all eternity living in paradise because you sacrificed some time here on earth. Of your short time that you have, you sacrificed it for their eternal life. Okay? And this is a big deal. And I think when we think about how big of a deal that is, it's not as hard to sacrifice it. Right? It's not as hard to say, "Hey, I'm going to take an hour over here to go soul winning," when you realize that when someone's won, how big of a deal that is. And we have a church that obviously goes out soul winning, and we see a lot of people saved. And I think sometimes it's easy to take that for granted as far as not thinking about how much of an impact that is and how precious that is, I guess. And our church is a church where a lot of people have sacrificed a lot of their time. A lot of their time. And I'm not here to like embarrass anybody. There are people here that have used all their vacation pretty much for missions trips and for soul winning events. I mean, that's a big deal. That is sacrifice. And I'm not saying that, like, you're not right with God unless you use all your vacation permission trips. I'm not saying that, okay? The idea here is that that is not a small thing. I believe that it's something that God obviously views. And what that shows me is that a lot of people in our church really do understand how important and how big of a deal it is, you know? And if anything, you know, to kind of show you, hey, you're not wasting your time. You're never going to the James Wake Up. go to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1 there. It says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Notice my joy and crown. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For ye are our glory and joy. I mean, think about that. I want you to think about the day that you're in heaven. Let's say Jesus comes back in our day, right? And we're all caught up into heaven. And everybody that you want to the Lord is there with you. I mean, listen, when you win someone to the Lord, most people recognize that the person that wants you to the Lord, there's kind of like this knit type of feeling towards that person of like kind of like a just maybe respect or just love that's there when it comes to that. I want you to think about for all eternity, there's probably going to be that kind of like feeling of like that love that you have for that person that's unique to maybe other people in heaven, right? And so that is something to think about when it comes to the time that you invest, the time that you give up for the lost. And it makes all those doors that are slammed in your face, all those mean things that are said to you, just kind of fly out the window. I believe for all eternity, we're going to forget about all that. Like, you're not even going to remember the crazy, like, stuff where people were, like, yelling at you or whatever, and just all that stuff. I think it's going to be kind of like when a woman gives birth and they forget about the pain, which to me is just crazy. That when the Bible says that they would forget about that, because of the joy. And I think that's what it really comes down to, is the joy is going to outweigh the toil. Now, you know, with the lost, obviously you're basically redeeming the time, and you're basically sacrificing your time for a bunch of strangers, okay? For a bunch of people that you don't know. And this may not be strangers. This could be friends. This could be family. So don't get me wrong, right? Obviously, it could be people that you care about and all of that, right? But a lot of our soul winning is people that we don't know, and it could be very well strangers that you're running into, okay? But go to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 28. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 28. I want to talk about investing your time in your spouse, okay? And again, this isn't an all-inclusive list of what you should invest your time in, okay? Because everybody's got different, they're in different points in their life. You may not be married, whatever the case. I'm going off personal, you know, just what I deal with, okay? So bear with me in that, okay? So you may have other things that you're investing your time in or other people that you're investing your time in, and that's great. But the thing is that I think about work. I have work, right? I have a job that I have to do, but I need to not basically deprive my wife of time that needs to go to her. And I'm talking to her and her alone, okay? Not time with just her and then all the kids are around at the same time, okay? And this is hard, okay? Right now, this is really hard, but it is something that needs to be there. And it's something that I have to constantly remind myself that, no, I need to spend some time with my wife. Even though maybe I need to, I got like five other things I want to do while all the kids are to bed, okay? And this is something that I deal with all the time, that hey, I need to do that. And I'm not here to say that I just, like, excel at this. Actually, probably I need to get this a lot better, okay, when it comes to how much time I spend with my wife and all that. Actually, constantly she's texting me, I feel like I never see you. So that's kind of where this is coming from, like, because she does see me, okay? It's not like I'm not there, but I know what she means by that, you know, and the fact that, you know, it's kind of like we see each other in passing, and then we're asleep, and then it's a new day, and all that. So this is something that we need to make sure is happening. And it says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28, it says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. So when it comes to this, it's saying, like, just as much as you would nourish and cherish your own body, you need to nourish and cherish your wife. Now, obviously, this would apply the other direction, right? The wives, you know, don't. First of all, there's a lot of weird doctrine out there. It's like, well, it never says, you know, it says that the wives need to submit to their husbands, but it never says they need to love their husbands. It's like, except it does, actually, in Titus say that the women need to love their husbands, love their children. So, but here's the thing. As much as the husbands need to love the wives and nourish and cherish them, listen, the wives, you also need to love your husbands and nourish and cherish them, right? And so that'd be like saying we need to not love Christ, you know, because the church, he loves and cherishes the church, so we need to not love Christ, you know, and cherish Christ. So here's the thing with that. It takes time to do that. To show, listen, it's easy to say to your spouse, I love and cherish you. But how they're going to really know that is because you spend time. You dedicate some time to them, because that's going to tell them that, hey, he's willing to sacrifice time for me, therefore he must actually care. Okay? And, you know, this is something that needs to be there. And I'm speaking from someone that's in the ministry, meaning this is that I obviously have to deal with the ministry and everything, but listen, I have to have time with my wife. And if that's not happening, then listen, that is first priority there. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And I've preached on this many times because obviously due benevolence needs to be in the home with spouses. But the act of what married people do isn't the only thing that we give time to our spouse for, okay? That needs to be there, but that's not the only thing, okay? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 3. It says, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband likewise also, the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent, for a time that ye might give yourselves to prayer and fasting, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. So obviously due benevolence as far as coming together and all that, that needs to happen. And that's obviously, you know, time that's spent with each other. But listen, I want to state this. As much as I believe that and that needs to be true, listen, that is not the only time that you're to be spending with your spouse. Okay, there needs to be a time of communication. There needs to be a time where it's just you and them spending time together and just having a relationship with each other to where you have a bond with each other, okay? And that is something that needs, that time is not being wasted, okay? And I'm just, you know, whereas I know as spouses, there's a lot of things that maybe you're trying to accomplish, you're trying to do, and there's a lot of things that I'm trying to do. Whether it's learning new things or whether just building things, okay? I don't know if you know this, we have a lot of projects, you know, that we're always trying to do, whether it's, you know, building a barn, building, you know, certain things, or doing things out on the farm. I want to have cows. Well, now, that's my wife's fault. So, actually, if she gets on me about spending time with her, it's really her fault because she's the one that convinced me to get cows. So, there's, like, all these things that I'm trying to do, but I have to balance it. As much as I want to do all these other things and want to get all these things accomplished, I have to have time with my spouse, and that needs to be there, okay? I have to dedicate time. We need to dedicate time to the lost. We need to dedicate time to our spouse. And we need to dedicate time to our children and investing time in our children. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I think about this when it comes to homeschooling and just all the stuff that you're dealing with, that we're dealing with kids at this age and everything. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." So this is time, not just like some one dedicated time here or there that you're spending with your children. I mean, this is like wherever you're at, you're spending time with them. And you're talking with them, you're communicating with them. Obviously, you know, Bible and all that as well. But listen, I think that there needs to be time where you're just spending time with them. And it's not necessarily a Bible-related thing that you're doing. It could be any. It could be playing with certain things. It could be on a walk where you're just like throwing sticks, throwing rocks, or whatever you're doing, right? And just that time that's spent there. And what I want you to realize is that there are things that to you seem trivial, to you seem that is not a big deal, and that your kids don't care about, or that they're not going to care about, but it's actually a big deal to them. And let me give you just one, like a story, and this is so trivial, but it's something I never forgot. And I was telling Brother Dave about this one, actually, when we were lifting. And there's certain things you remember from your childhood. And sometimes you're like, why do I remember that? And I think the reason sometimes you remember it is because you realize of how much maybe your parents cared about you. And it's something really dumb. As far as what they're doing for you, it's not like a big deal, but it shows you that, hey, they sacrificed time for something that was clearly insignificant, clearly not a big deal, right? Because it's kind of like if your parents sacrificed time for you for something that's really important, you're kind of like, well, yeah, I get it, you know, like this is obviously very important. But if they sacrifice time for you and it's something that's not important at all, like it's not a big deal, it's not like changing the cost of tea in China, you know, so to speak. Let me give you an example. I was out at, we went to the beach. We always went to Ocean City. And I was a teenager, so I couldn't drive at the time. And I was a very picky eater back in the day. Still kind of am. But I remember being up late one night, and I was really hungry. You ever just have those nights where you're really hungry, but everything's closed, and you're just like, I'm going to eat something. Like, I can't wait till I wake up to eat something, right? And I remember there was this McDonald's commercial, and there was a Big Mac commercial on. And listen, I never had a Big Mac in my life. I was always like, you know, it must be just like a cheeseburger plain with, like, ketchup and mustard. It was never, like, anything, like, crazy. So anyway, I saw this commercial. I'm like, I want that. Like, I'm just craving that. So the next day, I go to McDonald's and get a Big Mac, and I'm like, this is the best thing ever. Just like, this is amazing, okay? This is not sponsored by McDonald's, so just so you know, okay? And I'm not here to, like, say you should go out and eat a Big Mac. I'm just saying I had a phase where I was just obsessed with Big Macs, okay? So that being said, this happened around the time that we were going to the beach. And I was just kind of like having these Big Mac attacks. You know, I was just like, I just want a Big Mac. You know, I'm just like, I'm just craving. This is probably, I don't know what they put in them, but it's just whatever it is. I was stuck on it. But anyway, we go to the beach, and I want you to think about this. Now, as an adult, I realize how much it costs to go to the beach, to go on vacation. I know how much time it takes. I know how grueling it is to drive to get to the place where you're going. And I still remember, like, I think we always ate lunch at the hotel room and stuff like that. But I basically, I was just like, I just really want a Big Mac. I really want. And I asked my dad if we could go to McDonald's. And he took me by myself. We found a McDonald's, sat down, and bought me a Big Mac meal and just watched me eat it. And I never forgot that. I was just like, but here's the thing. It makes, I'm sure my dad, if my dad was right here right now, he'd be like, what are you even talking about? Like, he probably doesn't even remember that at all. Like, he's just like, sure, son, yeah, we went to go get a Big Mac one day. You know, but to me, you know what that showed me is that he cared enough about me to take me to go get a dumb Big Mac, right? Listen, that is so, like, trivial and so, like, he could have very well said, hey, listen, we have food here. There's McDonald's everywhere, right? Everywhere you're trying. I mean, listen, every little small town has a McDonald's and a Dollar General. So, I mean, it's not, like, hard to find. It's not like, oh, you know, I'm never going to see this again. I'm never going to get a chance to get a Big Mac again. And the thing is that that seems so trivial, but yet it meant the world to me at the time. Okay? And I'm almost 40 years old, and I still remember that story. I still remember that. I can't remember most things about the beach besides the mini golf stuff. I always remember the mini golf courses that we went to and stuff like that. But there's a lot of things I don't remember. But I remember that. Another thing about this too is that it may not be your children. It could just be people that family that's close to you. I still remember certain things from my Uncle Jack. Now, my Uncle Jack died when I was 10 years old. He was my dad's twin brother. And it was obviously a tragic thing that he died so young. He died from cancer. And I still remember to this day when they were building the addition to my parents' house, they took a lot of the lumber off of it because it was basically, they took off the lumber for the roof and they put on a second floor, all that. And we were carrying the wood because we ended up building a bridge across the creek. And so we were carrying like these two-by members back to the creek where we were going to basically build this bridge or whatever. And I still remember my Uncle Jack, like, show me how to carry a piece of lumber like a man. And he always, you know, because I'm, like, trying to carry it, you know, like a child. You know, I'm just like, how do you get this thing over? He's like, you got to put it on your shoulder like a man. And you just, like, put it on your shoulder, and you walk over there, and you throw it down. And there's just certain things like that that I'm just like, I remember my Uncle Jack showing me how to, like, be a man, you know, when it comes to certain things. And, you know, there's certain things that, you know, probably no one else remembered about that. And if my Uncle Jack was still here today, he'd probably be like, don't remember that, you know? Don't remember that whole, I mean, probably remembers the house being built or whatever, but, like, you don't realize what small things that people will remember the rest of their lives and apply to their lives. You know, to this day, when I'm carrying all the projects that I ever do where we're, like, building stuff, cutting stuff, I remember that event. It always comes to mind. I'm just like, I need to put this on my shoulders. You know? Or at least remember that event where he's like, hey, put it on your shoulders. The ladies will like it. Right? And it's something that was funny at the time. Obviously, we were joking about it, you know, at the time. But I was probably 8 years old at the time. Because I think that they built that addition in like 93. Show my age a little bit. So I think it was like probably 7 or 8 years old. Carrying lumber on my back, you know, to take it down to build a bridge, you know. And so these type of things that you don't realize that your children see and what they will look at and say, hey, I remember that, and how that will affect their lives, okay. Now, obviously, preaching the Word of God, getting them saved, preaching them Bible principles, that's without being said, right? I mean, that's something that is obvious. We need to teach them morals and teach them what's right. But I'm talking about things where you are spending time with them to where they will remember that you care about them. That they're not just, you know, just another person in the world, okay, that they actually matter. And I think with all of that, the fact that you took your time and gave it to them, and they may not realize that at the time. It's not like when I was younger, I mean, I really appreciated, Dad, you taking this time out of your life. That's a big sacrifice. And just understood all of that. But you know what? As a parent, I look back and I'd be like, how in the world did you guys do this? You know, like, I'm like, how in the world? You know, I always have way more respect for my parents after dealing with everything. Like, how did you not kill us? You know, you should have beat us more. Like there was a lot of things where I'm just like, you were very merciful to me. I watched a home video one time in the 2000s. It was like from the 2000s when I was a teenager. And I listened to myself, and it was embarrassing. It was embarrassing. I'm like, how did you deal with me? I understood why Justin didn't like me when I was in high school. My brother, we didn't get along in high school. And I'm like, that was his problem. And then I watched myself. I'm like, no, I was a jerk. You know, and you're just like, how in the world did my parents put up with me? And forget about that type of stuff. You just think, oh, no, I was great. There was nothing wrong with me. It was them, you know. Listen, our children, obviously, when it comes to what my priority in life is that my children grow up and that they love the Lord, that they're saved and they love the Lord. And the Bible says in 3 John 1, it says in verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. This is something that we need to realize, is that we want them, obviously, to turn out right. And everybody has free will, right? It's not like I can force my kids to get saved or force them to love the Lord or first force them to turn out right. But I do think that we need to really think about how much time we spend with them, and that even though it may seem like it's not a big deal, to them it's a big deal. Listen, when kids build, let's say your kids build maybe a tower of blocks or something like that, and it falls down, or like their brother or sister causes it to fall down, that's the end of the world to them, and we're just like, get over it, it's a block tower. But to them, it's a big deal, okay? And sometimes, you know, if we take a little more time to basically maybe get on their level to be like, and think about things in that manner, you know, and don't get me wrong, you know, we're all human, and in the end, you know, a lot of these things aren't a big deal, and we're just like, suck it up, buttercup, like, you know, and give them a reality check. I think there's always a time for that, you know, like, sometimes my kids need a reality check and be like, listen, this is not a big deal, you need to suck it up, and all of that. There's times for that, okay? But then there's just times where, hey, you know what? I need to let go of everything I'm trying to get accomplished, all the time that I'm trying to spend over here, and I need to put some time just in being silly, having fun, and just, you know, being there for them in things that don't matter. And when I say that, things that don't matter to me necessarily, as far as it's not going to increase my knowledge on any subject. It's not going to be some big revelation to where I'm just like, man, you know, I've really gained so much out of that. You're not losing your time, okay? You're investing it. Whenever you spend time with your children, you're not losing any time. You're investing it. And I think, and I can't say this from experience yet, but I don't think that any parent is going to look back and say, I wish I would have spent less time with my kids when they were younger. I don't think that's ever going to be the case. I don't think we're ever going to say, man, I wish I would have spent less time with my spouse. We're always gonna wish we spent more time. But it's always easy to look back and say, I should have spent more time. It's harder to be in the moment and actually sacrifice the time. Okay? And this is something that is just been on my heart for a long time. I think I was talking to some of you guys out soul winning and just kind of about how the idea of sacrificing time and just managing our time and just that idea. That is something that is really hard. It's really hard to do. And but it's something we need to do. We need to invest our time in others. And if anything, to give some perspective on the fact of how much that time means to the other person. And you don't even realize it. There are people watching you right now. Not the White House, not the NSA. I realize that's true, okay? But there are, listen, there are kids that are watching you, and I'm not even necessarily talking about your kids. There are adults watching you that are watching to see how you act, what you do. You know, they are watching you, and maybe the time that you spend with them, you know, like one adult to another that you spend with them will affect hugely something that they do in their life. And we need to be not thinking I'm just wasting my time over here talking to this person or spending time with this person. One time going out soul winning with somebody and you saying, yes, I'll go with you, is not only sacrificing time for the people that you talk to, but sacrificing time for the person that you went with. And maybe that time that you spent with them out there will be something they don't forget. I guarantee there's people in here that have soul winning times that you will never forget. And they're just like, I remember that time we went soul winning, and I remember that event, I remember what happened right there, and it was just never leave you, you know. And so, if anything, I just hope this helps. This helps me to know, like, hey, I'm not wasting time and investing it. That this is time well spent, even on things as trivial as going to get a Big Mac at McDonald's. And you're like, you just made McDonald's a spiritual thing. And yes, I did. Okay. Because even something as silly as that can affect the perception that you have for somebody and your view on maybe just life in general. So let's end with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your time of fellowship and the time that we have together here as a church. I thank you for our church. Thank you for everybody that is a part of Mountain Baptist Church. And just pray that you help us bring glory to your name. Help us to redeem the time, but also make sure that we put our time into others as much as possible. And Lord, we love you and pray all in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Brother Dave's going to come sing one more song, and then we'll be dismissed.
All right, take your psalm books and turn to Psalm 311. Psalm 311 in your psalm books. If you would stand, we'll sing All for Jesus, Psalm 311.
All for Jesus, all for Jesus, all my being's ransom powers, all my thoughts and words and doings, all my days and all my hours. All for Jesus, all for Jesus, all my days and all my hours. All for Jesus, all for Jesus, all my days and all my hours. Let my hands perform his bidding, let my feet run in his ways, let my eyes see Jesus only, let my lips speak forth his praise. All for Jesus, all for Jesus, let my lips speak forth his praise. All for Jesus, all for Jesus, let my lips speak forth his praise. Since my eyes were fixed on Jesus, I've lost sight of all beside. So vision, looking at the crucified. All for Jesus, all for Jesus, looking looking at the crucified. All for Jesus, all for Jesus, looking at the